It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello and welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host for the program today. You know, there are times in life when we get in a comfort zone, and it's real easy to stop calling on God, stop depending on God when everything is going good. So there's times when God allows things to happen in our life to kind of shake us up, to get us out of our comfort zone. This was the case with the nation of Israel at the time of Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, it said, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land, and they ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help." Now, at this time, the Israelites had allowed other gods to come into their lives. They began worshiping Baal and all the false gods. And in verse 7, it said, "When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I'm the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me.'" See, God always has a man or a woman that he can use to bring a word fitly spoken, which the Bible says is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Notice, he shows them exactly what the problem is. He said, "I blessed you, but you forgot about me." Now down to verse 11, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Now notice here in this passage, the angel of the Lord is sitting under this oak tree, and it just so happened it was a tree that belonged to Joash, who had a son named Gideon. I want you to know today, God is always at the right place at the right time. You don't ever have to worry about God getting lost or God not showing up on time. God always knows who he can count on. And there's this guy named Gideon, and although he's reluctant at first, he has some rough edges. God says, "I can use a man like that, because everyone will know it's me and not him." So notice what God does to Gideon. He says to him through this angel, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." One translation calls it, "Mighty man of valor." I can just see Gideon going, "Mighty warrior, I'm hiding here from the Midianites who keep stealing our harvest." And God called him mighty warrior. Friend, I love this because God sees you not for what you are, but he sees you for what you can be. He sees in you purpose and destiny that you might not even see in yourself. So God calls him mighty warrior. How does Gideon reply? Look at verse 13. He says, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Does that sound familiar? Don't we do that sometimes? We say, "God, if I'm your child, why am I going through all these problems?" So Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Do you know, friend, that's what the devil's objective is so many times in our life. He wants to make us think that God has abandoned us or God's forgotten about us. And Gideon just really gives an honest reply here. He basically says, "I feel like God has abandoned us." Now, what does God do? Does he turn him into a frog? No, look, God tells Gideon, stop worrying about this. Stop worrying about why this happened and what happened and focus for a moment. Don't worry about what they're doing. And then verse 15, it said, Gideon says this, but Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Wow, that reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, where Paul said, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. See, so many times we like to give God our excuses. Lord, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, Gideon said, and I am the least in my family. See, friend, I think sometimes God chooses us in spite of our weaknesses. One of my favorite singing groups is the band Casting Crowns. And it's so amazing because Mark Hall, who's one of my favorite songwriters, he was dyslexic and had ADHD as a kid. And God chose him to be a great songwriter. It almost sounds funny in the natural when you think about it. But that's the way God works. He chooses the things which are not to confound the things which are. He chooses the weak things to shame the strong. God wants the glory. And so sometimes he lets us go through things to make the flesh part of us realize we're not capable apart from him. Look at God's reply to Gideon's statement about the facts as he knew them. God said in verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Wow. God, how do I fulfill this task? Well, I'm going to be with you. How am I going to pay this bill? I will be with you. How am I going to get a job and see a miracle in my family? God says, I'll be with you. Now, friends, there have been so many times in my life when I've had those Gideon moments, when God called me to start the church that I now pastor back when I was 25 years old. I thought, God, am I capable of this? I'm just a kid. But you know what? He said, I'll be with you. And that's my favorite promise in all the Word. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. God is with us. See, God's not looking so much for a man or a woman with ability. He's looking for someone with availability. Gideon was impressed when God told him, just go and I'll be with you. And in verse 17, he said this, Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Have you ever been there, friend? I mean, God, is this really you? And then verse 18 said, please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Can you imagine asking God to wait? God, I know you run the universe and you hung the stars and you do all that fancy stuff, but could you just wait a minute while I go get my offering? See, I think God is so patient when we have these human moments, when we get in our unbelief and we get in our flesh. God's just like, I'll wait for you. Verse 19, Gideon went in, prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour. He made a bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. You know what? Gideon may not have understood everything God was saying and everything God was doing, but he knew one thing. God always will bless an offering. He knew God's law of sowing and reaping. And he said in his heart, if I want God to bless me, then I need to bless God. So he cooked God a good meal. He made some fresh bread, put a little meat in a basket, And he brings this to God to give it as an offering. Verse 20, he said, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. And when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. In verse 23, it said, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die.'" Now, verse 24 says, "So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, 'The Lord is peace.'" In Hebrew, it's Jehovah Shalom. "And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." See, Gideon builds this altar to God. He gives it the name, one of the names of God, Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. I want you to know something, friend. In the natural, Gideon could have saw anything but peace. His people were under attack daily by the Midianites. And here's God calling him a warrior, telling him that he's going to do battle. But he's touched by God, and then he sees through the eyes of faith to the end of the battle, what comes after the storm, and he says this, "You're the God of peace." Maybe today all you're seeing is the storm. Maybe today all you're seeing is the battle. But friend, I pray today that you can have one of these Jehovah Shalom moments where you see yourself the way God sees you and not the way you see yourself. Where you not only see yourself as God sees you, but you see what lies in wait for you after the storm. Now, Paul Harvey used to have a thing where he would say, "And now for the rest of the story." I'd like to say, after building this altar, Gideon went out and just conquered the Midianites, but it didn't happen that way. He had to put God to the test, and God is patient. Gideon says to God, "Look, if it's really you, here's what I want to do. I want to put a wool fleece on the threshing floor, and tomorrow when I wake up, if there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I'll know that it's you, God, and we'll win this battle." See, Gideon's testing God here, and God's patient with him. The Lord doesn't say a single word. All the other times, Gideon speaks and God answers. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God was patient with Gideon, though, and the next morning, however it happened, God did exactly what Gideon had asked for. The ground was dry, and the fleece was wet. Now Gideon is ready, right? No. Now he says, "Okay, I'm going to test you again, God, and we're going to reverse the order." Verse 39, "Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me. Let me just test you. Let me just have one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew.' And that night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew." Notice again, not one word from God. He just did it to build up Gideon's faith. I like how God speaks in our moments of doubt. He speaks with action. He speaks with his power. Now Gideon is like, "Well, maybe this is going to work." So Gideon takes 32,000 soldiers and he heads off to fight the Midianites. God says, "Hey, Gideon, we've got a problem." "What's the problem?" "You have too many men." "How could you have too many men?" Gideon must have been thinking. "Well, they'll think that you did this on their own." So Gideon gets up and he says, "Okay, you guys, all you guys who are afraid, go home." So what happens now? 22,000 people leave. Gideon must have had a heart attack. He must have been scared. Only 10,000 left out of the 32,000 that started. Now God says, "Hey, Gideon, we have a problem." "What now?" "Too many men." And then God gives him a plan of how to sift through the numbers. In verse 4 of chapter 7, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go.' So Gideon took the man down to the water, and there the Lord told him, 'Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down and drink.'" See, God's just looking for a few good men. He don't need the masses or the multitudes. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to their own place." See, friend, God had a plan. He didn't need a lot of men. He just needed Gideon to operate in faith.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He He makes His mercies new every morning.